Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
You're wanting me to transition to let it be impactful to your people. Now you touch their hearts. That's my prayer. Just touch their hearts to hear what's being said, receive what's being said, believe what's being said, and choose to walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just talk to you from Psalms 139. Can you go there? Psalms 139. I was at this pastor's prayer today, and a man of God by the name of Bishop Tommy Reed posed a question. And he posed this question and almost pulled me out of my seat. And so I want to read Psalms 139. And now those of you who do not know Bishop Tommy Reed, Bishop Tommy Reed, Benny Hinn calls him his spiritual father. He dedicated Benny Hinn's daughter, who is now pastor's wife in Florida, has a tremendous ministry there, her and her husband. I believe it's called Jesus Image Ministries. You ought to Google it. They're doing some awesome things and impacting young people all over the world. But then Bishop Tommy Reed also, he walked with brothers like Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall would call for him. And bounce things off of him. Oral Roberts would call him, and he'd come. Robert Schuller, different man. So many times when I'm in his presence and he starts talking, I said, man, keep talking. I'm listening to his stories. I'm listening to his testimony. I mean, how he went over into South Korea to Dr. Youngi Cho's church, and how he knew him before he was Dr. Youngi Cho. You know, amazing. This man, I said, man. And when you talk to him, he's so laid back. But he walked and had the respect of all of these generals in the body of Christ. Well, now he's 91, and he posed a question. And after I left pastor's prayer, I called Cheryl and I asked her, and it hit her hard. And so you may be wondering then, Pastor Martin, then what was the question? Well, he said this. He said, out of all we do as a Christian, we try to prove to God we love him. We will pray for long hours, showing God we love him. We will worship and do all we can in worship, wanting to prove to God that we love him. We will do everything we can think of, the good works and different things, because we think that's what God wants us to do, because we want to prove that we love him. And then he said this, but have you ever thought about letting God just love you? Have you ever thought about just giving God the opportunity just to love you without you feeling like you have to do all these different things? Because if you don't do them, God is not going to be pleased. And I got to do this. I got to pray for these length of time. I got to worship. I got to do all of this. I got to fast. And he says, I've done a lot of things in life, been a lot of places. And then I just mentioned to you all the generals in the body of Christ that he walked with, had influence over and influence with, and vice versa. He says, I don't know how much time I got left. I'm 91. He says, if I'm here in 9 more years, I'll be 100. But I don't know. He says, but I've come to this place where it's not about all our doing. It's simply about, will we get to the place to trust God enough and let him love us? So when he asked the question, the room got silent. He said, because he asked, so how do we do that? And I couldn't help myself. I was the first one to speak out. And I said, one of the things we would have to do is stop comparing ourselves to others. And let go of our selfish and fleshly ambition. He said, yeah, right, because none of that matters, right, Mark? None of that matters. I said, it doesn't, but to us, we've been thinking that all of that matters. He said, none of that matters. He said, I'm 91. None of that matters. Will you let God love you? So, when we read Psalms 139, you should be there by now. I want you to read it in mind with seeing God's love. And that's my thought tonight. Let God love you. Let him love you. I think about when my kids were growing up and we were training them. And Renee, she was the doer. She got the good marks in school because she felt like, you know, I got to do this. Krishan, she was the more sociable one in out of our kids. And so she would do that. And Mark Jr., he was the most quiet one out of the three when he was growing up. And I would always try to tell them and try to get across to them. I said, you can't do anything else that will cause me to love you any more than I do now. I said, I love you. I said, y'all hear me? I wanted to, my motivation was to try to get them to understand you don't have to impress daddy. You don't have to try to do to win my favor. You already got it. And maybe it's because of my immaturity and my emotional and mental immaturity, because I had to grow up myself, and Cheryl and I basically grew up with our kids, and maybe it was my lack of proficiency in communicating it. I don't know if I did a well enough job in sending that message to them, because later on, specifically after they graduated high school and then some of the choices they made, and I heard some of the things they said, they didn't know to what degree how much they were already loved. Now, they were loved, accepted, and already approved. And then, of course, they had their own growing up to do, and they have done, all three of them have, the past few years, specifically when they got into their 30s, man, they've been calling us, apologizing for choices they made and different things they did, and they see different things now. They had to grow up. But the bottom line was, the main struggle was, will you just let daddy love you? instead of feeling like you have to prove something. So I'm using my own personal life as an example to ask you that. I know you want to be good at this and good at that, and you want to do this and do that, and many of us unconsciously, you're in this place, man, where you're always trying to prove something to somebody. And you say you don't care, those of us who have gotten a little older in age, you say you're at the place you don't care, but then you still are subject to the fear of man. You still are affected by other people's opinion of you. You still are affected by other people's looks. So you're not as delivered as you think you are. My question to you tonight is, will you let God just love you? So let's look at Psalms 139. I'm going to read it from the King James Bible. No, you know what? I want to go ahead because I don't want to, I was going to read it from both translations, but I'm just going to read it from the NIV. I'm going to read it from the NIV. And I believe that will help us. So as we look at this tonight, I want to center on God's love for me. Lately, specifically this year, and I may have done it in years gone by, but specifically what comes to mind, I've been thanking God for his love. And I know I've done it before because you all hear me always say this, that you have God's acceptance, you have God's approval, you have God's attention, and you have God's assistance. So I've been thanking him and praising him and believing him for that for years. Glory to God. But I told you I wanted to go to a whole nother level in my thanksgiving. And in order to go to a whole nother level in your thanksgiving, you have to go to a whole nother level of seeing how he loves you. I know we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that. We know that 1 John 4:20 says God is love. We know that he doesn't just have love, he is love. But when it comes to you, specifically you, right where you are, you with the choices you've made, the everything about you, where you are, fears you got to overcome, insecurities you've had to overcome, inferiority and low self-image, and then you look at all the wounds that you carry because of relationships gone bad and people doing you wrong and all that. You are a product of all of that. To what degree now do you allow God to just love you for you? Look at this. This is from the NIV, Psalms 139. You should be there by now. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Stop. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know, even though that all of us know that God is omniscient, meaning he's all-knowing, there are some things we still feel ashamed about being vulnerable to God concerning. But he knows us. He knows us. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Look at this. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. Watch this, y'all. You are familiar with all my ways. Everyone say, God knows me. God knows. You're familiar with all my ways. Now, wait a minute. He's familiar with all your ways. And I know all of us think that we're okay. We're pretty good. And you know, if your loved ones in your house have accepted how you are. But if others came, we're not going to say others. Let's say Pastor Mark. I'll put me on the spot. There are some things you'll begin doing different because I'm present. Because I'm not your family member who has accepted all your ways, how you are behind closed doors. And here God says, I know all your ways and I haven't kicked you out. I know all your ways. I haven't kicked you to the curb. I know all your ways. I know your attitudes. I know how you treat people when you don't want to be bothered. I know how you respond to some people and how cutting you can be at times. I know how, I know the times when you may walk in deception, and I know the times when you come to church and go to church and you pretend and like everything is all right, but then when you get home, you are Miss Grumple and Mr. Grumple, Mr. Unhappy, and your loved ones got to endure that until you turn the corner. God says, I know all your ways, and I still love you, Jesus. Look at this. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Watch this. Verse 4. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. God knows what I'm going to say before I say it. Now think about all the times you said something that's not in agreement with his will. You said something that's not in agreement with his presence. You know what I'm talking about. And then how you challenge your family members and dare them to say anything against it. They got to accept it because you saying it. God says, I know what you're going to say before you say it. So that means that he knows your intent. He knows your will. He knows what you have made up your mind to do and to say. Look at this. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Verse 5. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me, even though I know it. Even though I know you're not this perfect person. Even though I know what you do, I still love you so much that I choose to protect you. I come in front of you, and I come behind you, and I lay my hand on you to bless you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Look at verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Then it says this. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? In this pastor's prayer today, we were reading from this psalm. And then they asked this question, what part of the psalm hits you? And so it got to me, my time to respond. And I said, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? I say, how often do we feel like we're by ourselves? Where can I go from your spirit? How often do we believe we're alone? Nobody cares. Nobody understands. I don't have such and such happening in my life, so my life must not be as important as somebody else because they got it. My life must not be as significant as theirs because they got it. And he says, where can I go from your spirit? You love me so much that you'll never leave me to myself. Will you let God love you? Will you get out of the way and get your head out of the way and allow yourself to be loved by God? Instead of you coming up with your own conclusions about your life, you draw on these conclusions about where you are in life and then where you're going to end up, and you don't even know the future. You don't even know the future about that problem you're facing right now. But will you let God love you in the midst of that problem and let him show you how he can change things? Will you let God love you? This is good, y'all. I'm getting blessed. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Verse 8. If I go up to heavens, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. King James Bible says, if I go into heaven, you're there. And if I make my bed in hell, you're there. So if I go to the lowest part or to the highest peak, you're still yet there. Now, I know that that indicates and reveals to us about his omnipresence. He's everywhere at the same time. But it goes beyond that because, yes, he's omnipresent. But watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Yes, he's omnipresent, but when it comes to you, he's perfectly present at all times. He's perfectly present. You are on God's mind all the time. He's not asking you to jump through hoops to please him. He's not asking you to pray 50 hours this week, read 30 chapters of the Bible this week, fast 10 meals this week, just so that you can please him. He loves you. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even, watch this, there your hand will guide me. How often do you struggle with not knowing what God wants you to do, not knowing how God is leading you, not knowing. Could it be that the reason why you don't know right now is because you haven't settled down and allowed God to love you? Could it be that you've been so busy with, I gotta do, that you haven't stopped and simply received the love that God has for you? This tendency to try to impress others and impress God. This tendency to always gotta do this for others. I gotta do this for God. This tendency to think that if I stop, my whole world will come crashing down. Who do you think you are? Let God love you. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. God got you. Come on. Hear me tonight. God got you. He loves you too much to let you fail. I don't know, Pastor Mark. I don't know because I see what's happening. I see what has happened, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. It's not over yet. It's not the end yet, because he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. Oh, he's not done yet. Come on, somebody say, he's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. Come on, say, he loves me some more. Yeah, look at this. Now, watch this. We're getting into the nitty-gritty of the psalm, and I want you to see this. If I say, verse 11, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, God. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. When I got to this part reading it, I thought about how often we allow dark situations to intimidate us or threaten us. How often we allow the dark and what goes on in the dark to to negatively impact us and negatively cause us to start getting down about our lives and about ourselves, and we start thinking wrong and feeling wrong because of the dark time we're in. But God says, to me, darkness is as light. And it's all because of you. I'm not going to allow the darkness to overwhelm you or overcome you. You don't have to hide. I got you covered. Let me love you. I'm talking to somebody tonight. God says, let me love you. Let me love you. Don't let that bill intimidate you. Don't let that situation on the job, that situation in the business, that situation in your career, that situation at school intimidate you. Don't give in to the threat. Don't give in. Let me love you. Watch this, watch this. He loved Adam and Eve enough to put them in a garden that they didn't have to plant. Jesus. He loved Adam enough to bring the animals to him and then reveal the name to Adam so Adam didn't have to think hard about what to call this next animal. Let God love you. We got to let him love us. We're making this thing too complicated. And I used to see, I think back now to my kids. See, one of the greatest things that Jesus did for me next to saving me was he blessed me to be married and have some kids. Man, I love being a father. Oh, Lord, I love being a father. I love being a father. And you know, it took some of my kids all the way into their 30s to learn to be my child. So listen, they ain't got a problem. And what I mean is, we can go out to eat. And they used to sit there struggling, thinking about how I'm going to pay the meal. And they sitting with daddy. They sitting with their dad. And I didn't ask them for a dime. I had already made up in my mind that I was enjoying their company. Jesus. How often does God try to tell you he enjoys your presence? When you turn aside just for him and you still thinking that you got to work through this and work through that and you got to do this and do that. I say to some of y'all in the name of Jesus, the only reason why you're as tired as you are in your body is because you are trying to make it happen instead of allowing daddy to do it for you. Now, I think pretty much all of them now have caught the revelation. When we go out with daddy, I ain't got to pay. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. But I enjoy being a father. I enjoy their company. Each of them make me laugh in different ways. I enjoy how I communicate. I enjoy how the uniqueness of each of their personalities. And God says, I enjoy the personalities of each one of my children too. Look at verse 13. This is how he found out, you know, this is how your uniqueness was established. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And one of his works is how he made you, how he put you together, your uniqueness, your idiosyncrasies, your taste and what you like and what you don't like. All of that is part of the working of God. And how often do you put yourself down? How often do you talk about your body shape and your body size and how your hair is and how it won't act right and how your feet are hurting and all? And you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Jesus. Look at the next verse. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. You didn't know that. All your days, Jesus, were written in the book before you were born. Glory to God. Jesus. No, you didn't get that. I said, all your days. You think that you are the recipient or the byproduct of what happens to you. No. Yes, we know some things happen to you that's not the will of God. Glory to God. And that's why you have to learn how to lift up your hung down head and believe and keep your hope in the God, glory to God, who has created you to be here, because he didn't create you to leave you in that place of hurt, pain, struggle, stress, or strain. He loves you too much. That's why you're coming out. He loves you too much. I used to always say this. I don't say it as much now. But when I was evangelizing, before I started pastoring, I used to always say this. I would say, if God didn't believe that you could make it in this day and time, he would have had you born in another generation. But because I'm seeing you here, that means that God believes in you. So I know you're going to make it. I know we all have different situations and different things we have gone through and we are going through now. But regardless of it, I tell you the common denominator in all the things we go through, God loves us. He loves you, dear heart. He loves you. Look at this. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So before I was born, he wrote it down. He wrote it down, man. He wrote it down. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Somebody said today, they said one person did the calculation that if you had a 19 by 19 by 19 room, 19 feet wide, 19 feet tall, and 19 feet deep. This 19 by 19 by 19 room, size of a room, filled it with sand, there would be over a billion particles of sand. And here, the psalmist says, if I was to take the time to count the thoughts you have about me, it would outnumber the grains of sand. Think about the beach in Florida. Think about Virginia Beach. Think about the beach in France. Think about any beach. And when you look at the sand, God has more thoughts about you than the particles of sand on that beach. I don't think you hear me. I don't think you hear me. And here you worry. Here you feeling bad and sad. Here you thinking you're not important. And his thoughts about you outnumber the sand. Think about this. And as many children as he has, as many children as God has, he thinks about each one of them more than the grains of sand on a beach. Now, listen, that'll mess you up, man. So he says, when I awake, I'm with you. I'm still with you. Where can I go? I'm with you. You really do love me for me. I'm special to you, God. I have nothing to prove to you. You've already accepted me. You've already approved me. You already attend to me. I'm on your mind. I have your attention. Even when I feel like I'm by myself, even when I feel like I'm facing something alone, I'm really never alone. And then look at this. If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Now, how do you put this in the midst of this powerful psalm that reveals his love for us? One preacher defined this, these verses that talked about hate. He did it this way. He said, if I was walking down the street with my wife and a man walked up and punched my wife in the face, now I retaliate and beat him down. He said, to me, I responded in love for my wife. To that man, he thought I responded in hate. He received and perceived it differently. But the action was all rooted in love. And so many times when you see verses like this and talks about hate and talks about enemies, you don't see the love. Because the other person who's on the opposite end of it, they're looking at, wow, he hate me. And it was all about love for his child. It's all about love for his child. And so now his child says, I love you. And since they don't want to love you, they don't get the same response from me. So now he says this, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Have you ever asked God to search you and to remove your anxiety, your anxious thoughts? Because you know he told us in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Now, how does he test us? When he has you to do something, when he has you to do something that's beyond your comfort zone, watch it, it will reveal either your love for him or your worry for yourself. Anytime there's anxiety and worry, it's because of selfishness. So like when God told me to relocate my family from Fort Worth, Texas to Buffalo, I came here trembling and trusting. I didn't know this area, man. I was scared. Did you hear what I just said? I was scared. And so what he did was he tested me to see if I would respond and come so that he can deal with all those anxious thoughts of fear that was in me. Because when I made the move, I made it for him, but as I made the move, I wasn't thinking of him. I was thinking about me, my wife, and my kids. And he got me to a place. And a lot of times I talk to the Lord and I said, man, why wasn't I where I am now when you had me to come to Buffalo? I said, you know what we could have done? Oh, man. But see, test me, Lord, and know my anxious thoughts. I remember 2002, he dealt with me and said, it's time to, I was working at the post office, had been there 5 years. Nobody just leaves a government job. And then the Lord says, Mark, it's now or never. I said, huh? Mark, that's all he kept saying. It's now or never. I had this knowing in my heart. He was calling me off the job at the post office to give myself to ministry. My first thought was, how are we going to make it? Mark, it's now or never. Test me, Lord, and know my anxious thoughts. Find out where I'm second guessing you at. Show me my heart. Show me really, do I have confidence and trust in you to do it your way, or am I really a prisoner to my own way of doing things? Mark, it's now or never. I remember July 25th, 2002, I went into the post office, went and met my supervisor and said, today my last day. I didn't even give him a two-week notice, because if I had to give him a two-week notice, I'd have talked myself out of it. It was just like when I left Texas. I told Cheryl, I said, Cheryl, if I don't make the move now, I'll talk myself out of it. Because anxious thoughts, thoughts of fear, nervousness, apprehension, they will come. Test me, Lord, and know my anxious thoughts. And look at the last verse. See if there is any offensive way in me. What's an offensive way? It's where I'm not receiving his love. It's where I'm not responding to his love. It's where I'm second guessing him that he really is not covering me. He's really not, he's not there for me. He's really, God, you're not there. How can I say that? Because we just read, even if I make my bed in heavens, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he is there. See if there is any offensive way in me. I say to you tonight, I'm closing, that God has caused a shift. And in this new place, we've walked through this threshold into this new territory. I know for some of y'all, you think things are the same. They're not. They're not the same. I know that you're gauging and viewing everything through the lens and the eyes of your schedule and your daily routine. And since that's the same, you think everything is the same. No, there's been a shift. A shift has occurred. And what you have to understand is you have to get to the place where you begin asking God, show me my heart. Lord, show me how to receive your love more. Lord, teach me how to let you love me. Teach me how to do that. And help me to get out of my own way. Show me that. Test me, Lord, and see if I got any anxious thoughts in me. So I challenge you tonight. Let God love you. You receive this tonight. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for loving us. You love us. The only reason why we love you is because you first loved us. Thank you for not leaving us in the pit of hell. Thank you for not leaving us in the muck and the mire. Thank you for not leaving us. Leaving us to ourselves. But no, you saved us. You delivered us. You brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you. Thank you for reconciling us back to you through Jesus. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for Jesus being our Redeemer. Now I ask you, teach us how to allow you to love us like you want to. Teach us how to get out of our own way and to get out of your way. Teach us how to believe in that love. And you said, nothing that can ever occur on earth will separate us from your love. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you've made us more than conquerors through Jesus. Because you loved us. You love us. And I say what the Apostle Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I give you praise for it, Father. Thank you for answering my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.